There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right, so Matt, I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's a new sport that they just started called quiet tennis. You ever heard of it?
No.
It's like regular tennis, but without the racket.
That's good. I didn't see it coming.
Good.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales.
All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, man, I'm good. Good. Hey, I noticed something.
What's that?
We went and changed clothes after the joke.
Yeah, we did. We did. Well,
you know, why did we do that?
Well, you know, I really just changed hats. I think I might have been wearing the same color shirt, but I don't know.
Y'all, secretly, Adam is going, God dang it, why did you send your wonders? Yeah.
He's pointing out stuff in editing that it's like, Matt, now you're breaking the fourth wall too much. You're breaking the fourth wall.
I love it. I love it.
So before Matt gives away more of our secrets, we'll say, if you can't get enough of me and Matt and Matt spilling Graveyard Tales secrets, then go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales, sign up to become a patron. We've got multiple different levels, and we've got a giant back catalog of stuff that, you know, for our dark weeks. If you're like, well, why are they not putting out an episode this week? Well, we need a break, and we don't take a break on our Patreon. So even if we're dark, our Patreon is still getting shows. So if you want a bonus episode a week, any of the levels get that. If you want ad-free audio and video versions of the main episodes, sign up for $5 or $10. If you want our second show, SideQuest, audio and video, go over and sign up and become a $10 patron. We like to think that you're getting a great deal by doing that, because you get multiple shows, multiple topics, and it's all over the place as far as topics. Sometimes it's Graveyard Tales stuff. Sometimes it's a continuation of an episode. If we have more that we couldn't get to, we put it on Patreon. Sometimes it's just random BS that Matt and I want to talk about. Also, help out our sponsors. Go over in our show notes. You can find a link to our sponsors. Matt and I only do ads for products or services that we feel strongly about. If we like it, we will do an ad on it. Believe it or not, Matt and I have turned down ad spots. You may think, really? Those two would turn down money? Yes, we turned down money. Because we didn't
not
often, but if we don't believe in the product, then we're not going to do an ad for it and push it to you guys. So if we talk about it, we like it and we use it. So click the link, go over, check out our sponsors. By doing that and using our code, you get a discount and you help out Graveyard Tales. So you're not just getting you something cool. You're helping out me and Matt. Now, Matt, that is all of the housekeeping, boring stuff that I have for the intro. So why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
All right. So tonight we have two very special guests, both friends of the show, and we're super excited to have these guys on. I don't even know I can't even give all their bona fides.
Nah. We'll let them do it.
Yeah, that's right. So, but I mean, just know, our first guest is, he's been on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
He joined us on our Halloween episode several years ago. We had a great discussion about horror movies and filmmaking and so forth. Dennis Callow, is with us tonight, and absent from that show, but going to be here with us tonight, is his life partner and also big friend of the show, is Bethany Watson. And we're talking, I mean, between the two of them, radio personality, filmmaker, writer, producer,
showrunner. Yeah.
And they're going to be coming on to hang with us and to talk about their new show, The Trouble with Tessa. And they were fortunate enough to give Adam and I, you know, a pre-screening of this series. And guys, it's fantastic. And I think once you hear them talk about it and all the blood, sweat, and tears that they poured into this, mm-hmm. you're going to want to go catch it too. So
yep.
Enough of me rambling. Let's go and let's talk to Dennis Callow and Bethany Watson.
I'm excited. All right, everybody. So we mentioned this in the intro. We've got our friend Dennis and our friend Bethany with us tonight. So thank you guys for coming back on the show. It's been way too long since we've had you on. And Bethany, this is your first time on. So
I'm thrilled to be here. I was so jealous when you had Dennis on that I threw a tantrum. So now she made
a TV show just so she could come back on your show. That's what she did. That's how mad you got this
That's
woman.
That's how livid I was.
You know, if we can be a muse somehow, then we will do it.
Right.
Yes. But we've gotten some new listeners since then. And it's been a couple years since then. So will y'all tell us a little bit about yourselves and kind of give the audience just a precursor as to what we'll be talking about?
I'll go first. My name is Bethany Watson. I am one of the showrunners and a co-director for the show The Trouble with Tessa, which now is fully out on Screambox. It is the very first Screambox original series. These are the people who put out the Terrifier movies. And Dennis is my partner in life and business and film, and we made it together. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we're psyched.
Yeah, I've been on this show before, so I need no introduction. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
No, my name is Dennis Callow. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, and now a showrunner, which is crazy, of The Trouble with Tessa. And like Bethany said, all six episodes are out now on Screambox. It's crazy. You could also get it on Amazon.
Yep,
you can
on get iTunes.
It.
Yep.
Yeah, iTunes. You could buy it, own it for life. Yeah, and that's who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I can't remember. I know it was from Instagram, but I can't remember how we found you, Dennis. I feel like one of our buddies in the podcast world turned me on to you and Bethany, and then I just kind of became obsessed with, you know, the work that y'all do and what you're doing. And that's why we had you on the first time. And then since then we've watched y'all grow, I guess it is a good way to put it, into what y'all are now. And I'm proud to know y'all, and
absolutely.
You know, I don't know the best way to put it. I'm happy. That doesn't make it well, but I'm happy for y'all that y'all have had the success so far that you have. And so when we saw The Trouble with Tessa was coming out, we were like, okay, should we? Yeah, we're going to message them. And so we had to message y'all and have y'all back on and talk about it. And, you know, we'll try not to dwell on it too much. We'll just kind of go with it. But we recently watched all those episodes of that, and y'all did a fantastic job with that. Yeah. The suspense
Thank you.
Was crazy. Y'all had me at several times going, like the edge of the seat thing. I was literally sitting here watching it, and I'm like scooting back, scooting forward, going, you know. So it, y'all did good.
You got you got Amanda in the first episode.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
You got us both. We both yelled out. We had kids coming. What are y'all yelling about? But she was like, I'm done. But as soon as she said, I'm done, then Piper, my youngest, she was like, I want to watch this. I want to watch this with you, Dad. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
Piper tagged in for mom.
Yeah.
13-year-old girl. She's perfect. She's all about, you know, a horror show.
I was Piper.
Yeah. And it's sort of like this, it is like a Stephen King, you know, vibe. It has that kind of vibe. So it's like, I mean, I'm not going to say it's appropriate for a 13-year-old, but, I believe it. I see why it would appeal. It has that, like, you know, you sit and you watch a TV show with your mom or your dad. Like, I feel like that's the one you're going to watch.
Totally.
It's just got that vibe to it, you know, and we're proud that we sort of put that into a bottle and sold it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. But, you know, just so you understand, my house, two weeks ago, Amanda comes to me and goes, hey, you think it's cool if me and Piper watch True Blood? And I just, in my head, I went, let's see where this goes.
Yeah, right.
Yep. I was like, you don't remember this show as well as I do.
Yeah.
And
like within the first 5 minutes, she's like looking at me and I'm like,
trying to warn you.
I told you.
You know? What are you going to do?
There's been a couple movies like that with Michael that he'll ask if he can watch. And I'm like, yeah, I don't see why not. And within like 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, I see why not. Probably should have waited a couple more years.
We should shut this off. Yeah, we should shut this off right now.
That's like a really special moment, though, being a kid where you are watching a movie with your parents and your parents realize that you all should not be watching that movie together.
That happened to you, right?
Oh, my God, so many times.
Yeah.
We would family movie night. My parents would rent a movie, and there would inevitably be some point where my dad would say, "Okay, girls, pretend you don't see this."
Yeah,
and we would all just like, there's like a sex scene or something, and we would all just kind of look down.
Yep.
And I remember I spoke to one of my friends. I used to do a movie podcast where I would talk to indie filmmakers, and one of my guests said that happened to her, and it was the worst moment of her life because her mom rented Kids. Remember the movie Kids from the 90s? Because she was like, look, it's Kids.
No.
And like from this first scene, everyone was like, what are we watching?
Yep.
And I'm like, that movie was rough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a rough movie.
That's so fun. Did she not read the back?
It's like Kids. Oh, they're kids. Skateboarding.
You're a kid.
You're a kid. Here you go.
The back should have said, not four.
Yeah,
kids. Kids, colon.
Absolutely rated like no kids. No kids should watch this.
If X had still been a legitimate rating, totally. You know, it would have got it. I mean,
I'm surprised. Like, I saw that in the theaters, and man, is that a tough, that's a tough one, man.
It is.
And like, I still can't believe they got away with an R for that. I'm like, this is a rough, even if you watch it to this day, it's like, it still is disturbing. It's still like really raw and messed up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
The kids.
Saying did she not read the back of it? That was how I got away with watching a lot of movies as a kid. Cause you know, that was still the Blockbuster. You go there and you can just show them the front.
Yes. Yep.
And they don't see anything else. And you know, you can thumb over the rating, maybe something like that. So they don't see it. It was a lot easier than now, you know, you want to watch what? Nope.
Totally.
Not happening, you know?
Yeah. You could literally watch the trailer where it was like, you were just based, it was always based on the cover, you know, but it was such a crapshoot when you went to the video store. I mean, I eventually like worked in video stores. Did you guys work in video stores at any point?
No, I never did.
No.
Oh, it was the best. It was like for a kid who loved movies, it was like, oh, this is amazing. But I remember, you know, you would, it was almost like the Atari covers. Like you would see a cover and be like, yo, this looks insane. And then you put it on, you're like, oh, this is
bad.
This is nothing like the cover.
They spent all their money on the cover.
Yep. Yeah, it's like they got some like Frazetta cover and you're like, yo, this is insane. And then you put it on and it's like, I felt like Warlock was like that.
Totally.
I was like, yo, this movie's, I mean, I did like Warlock.
Warlock rules, but it's not what we're promised.
No.
That's what got me into B horror movies.
Is Warlock the Julian Sands movie?
Yes, Matt, it is.
Oh, I remember that. I remember
you've won
that.
Warlock trivia.
We salute you.
The covers, though, that's what got me into B horror. Because I'm always like a fan of the bad. I always said B horror stood for bad horror.
Yeah.
Because it's still good, but it's not great. But right. I loved those. And I had a huge collection of B horror movies. I mean, even when we first started this show, you can ask Matt, I had a shelf of DVDs that was all, well, 90% bad horror movies that I would
go up,
still had a local video store, and I'd go up and buy them and bring them home and watch them. And it all started with those covers, the movie covers, where you look at it and you're like, this looks fantastic. Get it home and you're like, it's not fantastic, but I oddly like this.
Yeah, it's like Basket Case and Silent
Chud.
Night, Deadly Night, Chud. Yes,
oh, Chud.
Yeah. Our benevolent overlords, Cineverse and Bloody Disgusting, are doing a remake of
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
It's coming out.
No kidding.
This Christmas.
Yeah.
I believe it's this Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I heard. Are they remaking Chud as well? I don't know. With like, I saw it somewhere and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, here's what's weird. So Chud is an interesting story. Chud was made by people who said horror is so stupid, anyone could make it. So it was a bunch of like snobs who made that movie. And so I'm like, people who hated horror made Chud.
Yeah.
And then it got a sequel.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Which is offensive, but also, hell yeah. You know, I don't know. Like, That's hurtful in a way.
And if I Google Chud remake, I see that in several ways, Us is Jordan Peele's unofficial remake of Chud.
That makes sense.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm like,
that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of Us also reminds me a lot of Invasion of the Body Snatchers too, because you know you have the double.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie got to me because I was a kid when that came out.
Yeah.
I had no business watching that.
Another one. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know I used to do the little, you know, the little thing comes creeping down the hall. You see the shadow, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I used to, all of my older cousins used to make me go do the Body Snatchers thing. And I would go over to, I'm like six, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why do I know this?
That Invasion of the Body Snatchers was a huge
1978.
The 78
version.
One,
yeah.
Was a huge source material.
For Tessa, for sure. Yeah, I just watched it. I found it on VHS, the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Found it on VHS at one of our local Goodwills, and I was like, oh, this is a dream come true. And I watched it on VHS. I love the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers. To me, it's like a perfect movie. It's just so good on every level, and it just makes you feel paranoid.
Yeah.
Absolutely paranoid. The whole thing is like this. I love when nothing is right and everyone you know starts to change.
Yeah, like you can't trust anyone.
Like the whole world is changing and you can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
That's my favorite genre of anything.
So you bring that up, Dennis, and I've always said some movies that I love, television shows that I love, it's all because of how they make you feel. You know, you get this visceral reaction to them, good or bad or otherwise. And I felt that watching The Trouble with Tessa.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just the way everything seemed so different, so disconnected from the rest of the world, but it was just like this, I mean, I really feel this. Like, I, you know, and I can't explain it. Not very few movies do it, but I felt it watching The Trouble with Tessa. I could just feel that. That
yeah,
pool.
There was a tension.
Yeah.
There was an unspoken tension in that movie.
More so than most shows that I watch. But there's always like some weird movie that I'll come up and I'll go, oh, man, I used to love that movie. And everybody's like, really? I'm like, it made me feel a certain way. And, yeah. And I liked it.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Well, the feeling a certain way, that's one of the things I was going to talk to y'all about is, before we started recording, I told y'all I talk trash through every movie that I watch. And I am a firm believer in mind your business. And yeah. Mm-hmm. The trouble with Tessa, the thing that got me that I kept talking about was I was like, Tessa, just okay. Uh-huh. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone. And, yeah. You know, I said to y'all, I would be a terrible director because I'd be like, now I wouldn't do that. And yeah. I wouldn't actually go rummaging through somebody else's crap in their house.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
And like, cause that whole time I'm going, she's, just yeah. leave, just yeah. leave.
Uh-huh.
And like that was me that whole time, the suspense and that feeling like Matt was talking about that you get through that whole movie of, I'm calling it a movie, even though it's a series.
Yeah, that's okay. Why. It's yeah. like, it feels like a movie. Length. When you watch it all, when you binge the whole thing, it does feel like a little 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
And just in six parts, yeah. you know?
And, it got me. I was talking major trash through that whole thing. And that, like we said before we started, that's a compliment from me. Because that's if I don't like it, I'm going to sit there and fiddle on my phone or do something else. I'm not going to be yeah. invested. And The Trouble with Tessa got me invested in her character being mm-hmm. where she's at and what she's going through. And you, Dennis, in that series...
Oh,
my favorite line from you, and I wrote yeah. this down specifically because I wanted to bring it up. You're on the phone with her and you uh-huh. said, everything you're saying and doing is bad. Everything you're saying and doing is bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you
yeah.
said it like three yeah. times or something.
Yeah.
And I busted out laughing because I'm like, that's how I feel. And he yes. just yes. said it.
Yes.
And just the way you said it made me laugh because that's exactly what I was feeling. Like, no,
yep.
uh-huh. no, stop. Stop. Yeah, mind yeah. your business. Yeah, go, right. go away. You know,
that's why it's not the trouble with Ted.
Yeah. yeah, right.
Ted would have just been like, oh, okay,
no.
I'm just going to yeah. sit here.
Nope. I'm
yep.
out. I'm good.
Yep.
That's we wanted to give everyone sort of like Aaron as the audience surrogate. And but we also did want to clarify like why Tessa does what she does. And I think that it's because, you know, and so I'm sorry. And so in episode 3, we get the answer. Like, why are you digging? Like Freddie mm-hmm. is literally like, why are you
drawing attention to yourself if you're trying to hide?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And as horror movie lovers, we want to know why the character is making stupid decisions.
Because yep.
you have to make stupid decisions in horror movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where most people would run, why is Tessa choosing to stay?
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
they're stuck, number one. If they go back to the city, is like a fate worse than death to Tessa. Because, number one, they're young, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this feels like their whole world just crashed in on them.
Right.
And then you've got this thing where she's got OCD like I do, and you're sort of like, you can't stop digging. It's
mm-hmm.
it is sort of like a sickness. It's like you can't stop thinking about it, and you must figure it out, even if you put yourself in harm's way.
And
right?
like the fact that Tessa starts crying, you know, like as they say, I have this thing, I can't shut it off.
Yeah.
And like, that was such a really important moment to us because it does. It shows that Tessa knows that they shouldn't be doing this and they can't stop themselves. And it's like, and also, you know, they are young. And so they're also like, in a way, just too naive sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think there's also this thing where anyone who has lived in a big city and then gone to a smaller town has an attitude for a while.
Yeah.
Like, they know a little bit more than everyone else does.
Mm-hmm.
And Tessa also has that. So right, it's like, I'm a little bit smarter than everyone else in this town.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it leads them to make just the worst choices.
Yeah. And I think we've all been guilty of that because, like, mm-hmm. for me, when it started, when I would go on tour and I was young and arrogant and I thought I knew the world, it wasn't until I went to the South where I was like, things operate differently here.
Yep.
You can't just walk around like the way you walk around.
Yeah.
You have to do things a specific, like, you can't just do the things that you do in the mm-hmm. North, right? That's what I loved about Tessa is she's so young. She thinks she knows everything,
yep.
that she can outwit everyone. And she's also not a very good detective yet. You know, this was
yeah.
this was for me. This was Tessa's origin story too. This was
true,
just
yeah.
one adventure that's going to lead to the next and the next and the next town and the next town and the next weird thing that they come across.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I feel like it's very much like Batman Begins, where it's like he loses fights, Tessa loses battles,
yep.
learns. Yep. With each season, Tessa can learn more and learn
and
more. So
yeah. I was going to say this could be a big jumping off for that character. Like you said,
yes.
it's her initial, you know, trial by fire
yeah.
in the investigative journalist realm of
yeah. yes.
the creepy or however
totally.
You want to put it. And so it
exactly.
could spawn for you guys into a bunch with this mm-hmm. character.
And you would love that.
I can definitely see that happening. Different, you know, settings, but kind of her OCD gets her to that same, you know, now I'm neck deep in a pile of crap and how
yes.
do I get out of here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But a funny anecdote, because you said came down to the South and, you know, things just run a little different.
Uh-huh.
There's the main road out here. And I'm not in a super small town. My dad is. I'm kind of a medium town where I live, but we've got the main road that runs through. And it actually circles the Metroplex, and it's like three lanes, whatever. So you can hop on this road and take it anywhere in the town. It's kind of like the major back road. Well, I was coming up this road trying to get home, and I'm in a part of the city that's got a bunch of lights. There's just light after light because there's shopping centers. And I'm in the far right lane, and then I noticed the light turned green. Immediately, there's a horn honk.
Ooh.
And I look over and it's the guy like behind me on the lane to the left of me. So they're not honking at me, but they're honking at the one in front of them. And I thought, okay, just having a bad day, get up to the next light. It turns green, like instantly. And this happened. I swear at least six lights. It felt like 25, but every light we came to, the instant that turned green, they honked. I'm angry. They're not even honking at me,
yeah.
but I'm
yeah.
angry. And I'm thinking, okay. And I know this is a stereotype, but I'm like, they must be from New York.
And you would be correct. That is not a stereotype. You know, some stereotypes are true. And they were definitely from New York.
True.
I can tell you that. Yeah.
I'm like, look, buddy, you're in Texas, and we
yeah.
give a three count before we honk.
Uh-huh.
Light will turn. I will honk at a light, but sure. I go 1-1000, 2-1000. Uh-huh. Ah, crap. Because
uh-huh.
I realize they're on their phone or something. But
yeah.
this
yeah.
guy was instantly honking. I'm like, man, you haven't been here long.
Ooh,
yeah.
You're gonna get to a smaller town and do that, and some redneck is gonna jump out.
I was just gonna say, yeah, someone's gonna come
yeah.
out and be like, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah.
You got a problem?
Yeah.
yeah.
Where are you
go,
from? You know?
Yeah. Where are you?
People getting out of their cars at a light.
I know.
It's definitely a Southern yeah. thing.
Yeah.
Oh
for
God.
Sure. For sure.
No way, dude.
But I did feel that in the trouble with Tessa is that she had that kind of, I'm from the city. This
yep.
is a small town country bumpkins.
Yeah.
They're just not as worldly as me.
Yeah.
Right.
And
bunch of rubes. They don't know what's going on.
She learned real quick, though, that that's not necessarily the case and that she was in over her head. But that town is creepy as hell. And I had to ask. So the town is Lowry.
Yes.
And
yes.
I had to ask, is there a real life inspiration that y'all have been to for this town or that y'all know of?
Yes.
Or did it just come out?
We live here. So truly, you know, Dennis is in my inspiration for a big part of the show was our move from New York. So Dennis lived in Brooklyn. I lived in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Our move up to the Hudson Valley, which is like about an hour and 20 minutes outside of New York City. And everything runs differently here. Like sirens randomly blare in the middle of the afternoon.
Or at night.
There are places that we will drive where we will just lose all Wi-Fi and cell signal. It's just a dead zone. Everything moves at a slightly different pace. And we also absolutely had that feeling of like, oh, this is cute, but we're from the city and we, you know. And as soon as we met people, we realized everyone is just as intelligent and just as experienced with the world as we are. Everyone is just as like everyone is the same.
Mm-hmm.
They just live in the Hudson Valley. And now so do we.
Yep.
So it was really that of this. We shot it in our house. Mm-hmm. The library is our library. The bars are down the street. Like it's all filmed in our little area. Here.
And
that's
just cool. To sort of piggyback on what Bethany was saying, or to add to it, is that the spookier part of the whole show, what goes on at night in Lowry, that inspiration came from literally listening to like you guys and listening to about urban legends, weird little towns where things go bump in the night. And we were like, let's make a new urban legend of this place, Lowry. So like we wanted to actually make like an urban legend about the Bone King.
Yeah.
And that's what we talked to our head writer, William, about, who shaped this world with us and for us. And he did a fantastic job building out the lore and the background of this town. I mean, he has a whole dossier. Adam, you're a history buff. Whole history of Lowry. There's an entire history going back to the mayor and how it worked and how people, you know, emigrated here and what they did. It's insane.
It's amazing.
That's Tolkien-esque.
Exactly. Yep. And so that's really what we wanted to do in it. And a lot of this came from just listening to people talk about, especially you guys, like, because you guys cover the lesser known sometimes things, especially in America.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, this would be on Graveyard Tales. Hey, have you heard of this town, Lowry, where there's sirens and like no one goes out at night and no one ever lives? Like there's no, like it just felt like something you would hear on a podcast or something.
For sure. We'd talk about it.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And also like this part of New York is also famous for these stone chambers that are just, they dot all over the place. They're in Putnam County, and we didn't realize that when we moved up here. And all of a sudden, we started seeing just on our morning walk these random stone. They're not really caves; they're just little. Some are big, some are small.
They were root cellars,
like root cellar. Yeah, but they're everywhere. And we went to our library, and we were talking to the librarian.
Can I share a really funny story about that library trip?
Yeah,
so we were scouting for the library, and this library was a little too modern, you know, for us. Luckily, we came across the Reed Memorial Library, which was perfect, and they had that basement too. But anyway, so I'm talking to the guy at the front, and I'm like, "Do you have any history books about, you know, where we live and in the Hudson Valley?" He said, "Yeah, yeah," and he just looks at me, and goes, "Have you heard of the stone chambers?" Just real quiet. And I was like, "What?" Yeah. I was like, "No, I have not.
I would love to." Yeah.
And we were just like we had just wrote the first draft with William, our writer, of The Trouble with Tessa. And I was like, "We are incorporating these stone chambers. We can film them."
Yep.
And he showed us where they were. And we went down this rabbit hole. I mean, to this day, people really aren't sure what they were used for. They believe they were root cellars. But in Lowry, you know, they go deeper. They go into caves.
Right. Yeah.
But it was just this stroke of like miracle. He's like, yeah, you can go visit them. There's like one like right around the corner.
God bless librarians.
Yeah.
Like
oh, yeah.
They just know. They know everything.
It was mm-hmm. the way he said it though. Yeah. He leaned
Have
in
you
real.
Seen the stone chamber?
You know of the stone chambers? Yeah.
Have you heard tell of the stone chambers?
That's great.
He could tell. He could tell.
I want,
looking
I want
at
that
you,
experience. But... I want.
I know, right?
I need somebody that will ask me a question like that. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they take you into this back room with just a microfiche machine, and it's like
one flickering light bulb.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can only use this with a key card.
Yeah. The thing that got me about that town is it happens here in Texas, but when I lived there in Tennessee in the Appalachians, it Ooh. Was all the time, because there are old, old stories throughout history of the Appalachians and what happens. And I met a lot of people up there, and all of them that have lived there their whole lives, they said there are some roads you don't turn down.
Yep. Mm.
And I'm like, How do I know what road not? I mean, I know back home, because there's usually some dude that's put up a sign that says, if you drive down my road, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you'll know. And driving around the mountains, you know, because you come across, you know, you're going through mountain roads and there's cutoffs into different places, but you'll be driving down past one. And Matt, you can attest to this. You just look at the entrance to this road and go, yeah, I ain't supposed to be there.
Wow.
And you just keep going. And I felt that with Lowry, is that that's one of those towns that you took the wrong turn and ignored the signs that were right in front of your face.
Adam.
You know, that I shouldn't be going here, but I ended up here and now I'm screwed. And
okay.
That's what it reminded me of.
They're hitting every nail
God,
on the head.
This is amazing. So one of the things that Dennis was really important to kind of all of us was we wanted this show to be something you had to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be on your phone. And yep. It's only 22 minutes long. So like you can stay focused. And in episode two, there is all this microfiche, and there's, you know, the research scene that we wanted so badly because we love a microfiche mm-hmm. scene.
Yeah.
And if you pause and you read the articles, even though they're redacted, you can pick out pieces. And one of the articles says, it's like an interview with a local guy. He says, I try to tell the high school kids, I know it's faster to cut through Lowry to get to the city, but don't take that turn off.
Mm-hmm.
Go around. It is not safe to go through. And that is exactly the feeling that we wanted people to have.
Yes.
Is like, don't turn down that road, man. You're in trouble. And that's amazing.
It worked for me. I felt it.
Awesome. And the original poster, which we had to change because it was marketing. Marketing is like, you have to put a face on a poster. You can't just have like, we had a road. We're going to release it at some point. It was a road that we took a photo of, and then we had our graphic designer put in a sign that said, welcome to Lowry, curfew 6 p.m. So it was just this ominous road going into the woods with that sign.
Yeah.
So imagine pulling into Lowry, seeing a sign that says curfew 6 p.m.
PM.
You're like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's the crazy part, is the let's do it instead of stopping and putting it in reverse.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right. You know, exactly.
What time is it now? Okay. Yeah. Let's go. You know?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. I'm down.
I got time to get out. So
Yep.
And that's the thing, is that we were like, well, Tessa's trapped in the city, so it's probably best that she goes to this place where no one can find her and no one's going to come looking.
Yeah.
So it's like for Tessa, that was the best place to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And that I love that part of it. It's like the whole idea of I'm trapped here,
mm-hmm.
but this is better than what I could go back to, really. You know,
right.
All things considered, you know, hell is waiting for me back in the city.
Yes.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
So
yeah.
Why don't I take my chances with the hell right here?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And
one thing that I was just going to say when people watch it to keep in mind is that, and this isn't really a spoiler, but it, you know, the people in Lowry are there because they're all running from something back home, you know, which is, so that's how the population keeps going is that,
and
you know.
To be honest with you, there's a lot of historical precedent for that, and especially where Matt lives in the Appalachians. A lot of those towns started as, you know, moonshiners running from the law, people doing, you know, illegal stuff, or they'd been kicked out of the, quote, bigger cities, and they moved to the mountains, and they started their homestead. And I know West Virginia is even more so that way, because I had several friends from West Virginia when I lived up there, and just hearing their stories about the stuff, it felt like Lowry was maybe a little bit, not cleaner, but a little more upscale than some of those towns, but it still had that feeling. You know, it was a nicer looking town, where some of those towns there in the Appalachians, you turn down and you instantly go, and back out. But, you know, the troubles that are there in Lowry.
Yeah.
Matt's heard them. I heard them while living there. You get those stories from these small towns that are, you know, everything's great here, but if you're out in the woods and you hear something, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
You did not. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That's your favorite thing about the Appalachians.
I love that. Yeah. One of the biggest compliments we had was someone commented that before the show even came out, just some of the marketing materials we put out of like these missing posters of people who'd gone missing. Someone said, this feels like people going missing off the Appalachian Trail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dennis and I love watching hiking videos and, you know, both just of hiking and also of the stories of things that happen to people when they're hiking. And that is, there's something about the Appalachian Trail, which go, you know, obviously goes all the way up here. And
we've hiked a part of it.
Part of it. And there's just a different feeling to it. There's something
wrong.
So interesting. There's like the Appalachian Trail on the east, you know, east and south. And then like the Pacific Northwest, there's something going on. And I feel like it's these two sort of sides of things that are just, there's something magical, mystical, otherworldly.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not quite right going on.
The Appalachians are so old.
Yes.
Like just the land. You know, we did a couple episodes on stuff in the Appalachians and looking into the history of those mountains. You know, the Rockies are a lot younger than the Appalachians. And that's why the Appalachians are kind of that rolling hill type look, because they've grown up and then compressed over the millennia. And the different people that have lived there have had stories since they moved there. You know, even the Native Americans who lived there, and before that, they always said there's something in these woods or there's something over here. The stories have stayed the same.
Yes.
And, you know, the context of running into it may have changed because we're modernizing and we're changing and you're not living out there. But, you know, it got twisted some with moonshiners that would put, you know, fake stories out to keep people off their still. But the basis of these entities have stayed the same. And to me, the thing in the Trouble with Tessa made me think of those. One of my favorite all-time things to look into, hear about, is elemental spirits.
Yes.
These are things that have been around since the world was created.
Yeah.
And they just live out in the woods and you run across them. It's not like, oh, here's a ghost from the 1800s or, you know, the Beast of Bray Road, the dog man that has come up within the past 40 years. This is old.
This is eldritch.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. These are things that the original things on the earth. And I kind of got that feeling when the legend or the history of Lowry kind of started coming in was like, oh, this has been here forever. This they moved in to this thing's territory. And that's the problem we have as a growing society, and we're wanting to modernize everything and you know, pave everything. We're running into these old entities that have been on the earth forever, and we've been able to deal with them, live with them for millennia because they have their space. We respect that space.
Yes.
We don't intrude, but we're intruding now, and we're witnessing it more. We're having more problems, and you've got the city folk, to go back to the beginning, the city folk that come into these old towns or these old places, and the people there are like, you know, I mean, we're happy to have you, but just so you know, I would not go over to this part of the creek at this time.
Yep.
And the city folk go, that's just bullshit. Some.
It doesn't apply to me.
Oh, sorry. Yep. I cursed. I'm sorry. I see. I broke.
You're good. You know, they're like, that's just your old hillbilly tales or whatever. And
Right. And that's, there's a wonderful scene between Freddie and Tessa in the woods in episode 3, and episode 3 is kind of where everything goes bonkers. So whoever's listening, who's going to watch the show, my pitch to you is just wait until episode 3.
Yeah.
Cuz that's when the script just gets flipped and you're in a completely different show.
It's a new show. Yep.
Trust me. There's a payoff. There's a nice horror payoff in this show. It's fun. But there's this moment where, you know, Tessa is still in disbelief that he believes this garbage.
Yeah.
That this whole town is run by this stupid thing that you like, how could you even believe this? It's just there to keep you in line, to keep you paranoid, to keep it.
Superstitious hillbilly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And then
you slowly find out that maybe you shouldn't go out at night.
Yeah, right.
That's all I'll say. Yeah. And I love that you were talking about like the ancients, you know, and there's a whole backstory about how everything sort of came to be in Lowry. And what I love about it is that, you know, the above ground, and I won't say who, but the above ground has figured out how to have a balance.
Yeah.
And to use the you know, the sort of ancients to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about it, is it's like, wow, what if there is a town out there that exists that's like, listen, we got a good setup here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't ruin it for everybody.
Yep. Yeah.
You're rocking the boat.
Don't
rock the boat.
I think there's probably more than one.
Yeah.
I think so too. And like, I love that you brought up Adam Elementals, because there's like, we were talking before we started recording how, you know, Matt, you're like a hippie. I'm definitely a hippie. And I was raised in a very religious household, and I'm not terribly religious now, but that whole idea of there's something, there's a big something out there who is bigger than us has definitely stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of elementals makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Where it's this energy that our planet has that we can't fully understand, there is nothing to say that it cannot have always been and created something out of this energy. Yep. And I like, it fully makes sense. And then I just get, you know, images in my head from, it's like the ritual where all the men in Sweden or whatever are hiking, and all of a sudden there's like a big tree. Like, it's just like, yes, of course there's a big tree.
Yes.
Like, of course there's a person who looks like a giant tree. That makes total sense. And it's awful. And it's the worst thing you could possibly imagine if you look up at trees and picture them looking down at you.
Yep.
It's just like the most basic, inherent, scary thing. And the idea of living with them somehow and knowing that they're there and just having to continue to live your life is just this awful, amazing idea.
Yep. Yeah, and I'll say that if you like The Trouble with Tessa, check out Horror in the High Desert by our boy Dutch Marriage. He's we love Dutch. He's a close friend. That series of movies is incredible.
So
Part
scary.
Two, I have never been more scared in my life. and like it's hard to scare me now.
Yeah.
but I couldn't sleep for like days. Like that.
They're so well done.
Oh, wow. It's still, yeah, they're so well done. And it's still not fully explained, but I think there's some, you know, there's some ancient stuff with mines and American mines and things like that. That's just fascinating. You know,
Horror in the High Deserts 1, 2, and 3, and then 4 is imminent.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Well, Matt and I have talked about it a lot where modern society has a lot of hubris to think that we know everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have also gotten to the point where we're on our phones all the time. It's in our face. And we've got technology, and we miss so much that happens around us that our ancestors knew about. And, you know, we got people walking through the woods doing Snapchat things instead of experiencing the creepy, spooky awesomeness of these woods. And Lowry, being the town that it is, where Tessa's phone don't work.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that played in perfectly because, I've been to some towns that I can't get a signal. And I honestly love that because it's my time to disconnect and decompress. But it also allows you to experience what maybe our ancestors experienced because you're not Snapchatting and Insta booking and all this stuff, you know. And I thought that helped the plot line to me because if she had her phone, she could have just been walking around, you know, not experiencing any of it, and the movie would have been over in 3 seconds because she'd been dead, you know, walk right into this thing and hey, you want to be on my
the cops.
Yeah, you know? right. Yeah. That too.
Yeah.
But
she's out there taking a selfie in the woods.
Yep. Doing a Snapchat reel or whatever. And then all of a sudden this thing walks behind her and she's like,
huh?
What?
Well, that was one of my biggest thing. And I was a real stickler about it was like, I don't want to watch a show where someone's on their phone. We need to write it out right away.
Yep.
We got to figure it out. So, you know, that's where we came up with this whole idea of this town just being completely cut off. And it was so exciting to write a show without people on their phones.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was refreshing. It was like, this is a joy to like not have to figure out what are we going to do about the cell phone in this scene.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's a big problem in horror, too, is there's all I think I tweeted once like, if you and your friends all announce at some point that you don't have a signal, you are in a horror movie because there has to be that one scene where everyone holds it up and everyone agrees they don't have a signal so we can get that over with and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed a way to just, first of all, not have that. And second of all, the second you show a phone or any technology, your show has now been aged.
Right.
That like in a year, it's going to look ridiculous.
Yeah, you're like, that's a Samsung.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we were like, we didn't want that to happen either. We wanted this show to be evergreen. And so that's why all of the tech you see is vintage because it's vintage already and it's fine. And but it was so important for so many reasons to not have technology. First and foremost, so Tessa couldn't call the cops. But also, we don't want to see the text come on the screen so we know what they texted. We don't want to pinging all the time. It's too much.
There was a scene in I forget what it was. It was one of the James Wan movies.
Which one?
Not Conjuring, the other one. What's the one? It's great. It had that great opening with the lady at the window.
Oh no! It was
not Sinister.
the one, but the not the, the one with the bangs where she has bangs.
Yeah.
Were her face on the back of her head?
No.
Oh, not that
not
one.
That one. Anyway, so it was like number 3 or 4 of that, and there's a whole scene where you're reading them texting each other, and I was like, no, I don't want this. I was like, come on, man.
Yep. Well, I think there's a creep factor to the whole dial tone or the can't get a dial tone on a phone or that or that. If you'd like to make a call,
yes,
you know that also because you know, it is, I realize that my kids would not understand any of that.
Right. Yeah.
But there is a huge generation of people that are like, yeah, that's a spooky thing. That mm-hmm. is totally. A spooky thing. Hearing a phone that's off the hook, something like that.
Yeah.
Because it always makes you think something is not right. Yep. You know, mm-hmm. this is not normal. People don't do this. If I hear this, that means there's a problem somewhere. Yeah.
If your landline is messed up, there's a problem.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And it also sort of gives you that, you know, you're living in a liminal space kind of feel, mm-hmm. Especially with all the weird, you know, a lot of Gen Z relate to the sort of, because, you know, I'm so down with the kids.
The kids, the youths,
I'm so
love
down with
Dennis.
The youths. I understand them like no one does. there's this like, there's like the back rooms, right? And like things like that, like these liminal spaces that look like photos that look oddly familiar. Mm-hmm. You know, it was sort of like Lowry is that all the time. Like you're in it, you're in a weird kitchen. You know, we got these weird 70s looking curtains and like the old phone. So like every time you're in a space with Tessa, you're supposed to feel uncomfortable. And someone who wrote a really lovely review of the show said, even the way the furniture is placed makes me uncomfortable. And that's good because they were like, it looks like they just threw it. It looks like someone's grandmother threw it together from thrift stores. And we were like, yes, that's exactly what it is.
They were like, the lamps on the bedside tables in the bedroom don't match. And it's making me uncomfortable. Yep. And we were like, yes.
That's exactly it. It's like, it's like something is just off.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It's like a specifically staged living space for Tessa. Yep.
Yes.
There's a reason. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you're watching it and you start out, you don't understand it. But by episode 4 or something, you figure it out. Uh-huh. And then, like for me, I would go back and go, well, now that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now,
exactly.
You know, it makes sense now. And so, yeah, like you said, if you're watching it, just watch at least through 3, and I promise you'll be hooked.
Yeah.
You know, you might do that thing that everybody does on the first episode of everything. You're like, what's going on?
Yeah. Where is this going?
I don't understand.
Yeah.
And I kind of did that too, but like I trusted y'all in taking me on this journey through the thing. So I knew there was a reason for it, but if you're casually watching it, you've got to get into it. Let the story develop a little bit. It doesn't take forever.
No, you know,
it's not like some of those movies where half the movie is still backstory and you're going, why am
right. I? You're like, yeah, no. Anything going
to
happen?
I don't need to know what the bartender did at 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and that was part of figuring out the runtime because, you know, part of the whole deal was like, you only have this amount of time to tell the story. And we were like, all right. We're going to make 6 short films is how we saw it, you know? And so each episode, one thing that Bethany always brings up that's great is in, was it The Good Place?
Yes.
The Good Place in the writer's room, they said every episode should end like a season is ending. And so that's what we tried to do with each episode.
Like the end should be as punchy and good and cliffhangery and amazing and mind-blowing as the end of a season.
Right. And so that's what we wanted to do with every single episode. And so that's why, like, I'm so happy you sort of like settled in and were like, I want to know where this is going. And that was a lot of people who've watched the show. They're like, I was really like, what the hell is this? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, and I, as a filmmaker, that's the best feeling in the world to hear people say that. And once you settle in, it's a pretty wild ride.
Yep.
It's pretty nuts. It doesn't, the show that you watch, you know, when you get to episode 6 and then you go back and then you're like, I was here in episode 1.
This was,
how do we get here?
This was Twin Peaks in episode 1.
Yeah.
And now it's
something
7.
Totally. Yeah. Now it's like something totally different.
Yeah.
And I just very quickly, I just want to just talk about the room for a second, the bedroom specifically, Adam, which you mentioned, which was really cool, is that there's also a very specific color. All the colors that we used were very specific. They all represent different things. So if you look, pink, green, gold, and lavender, if you look up what each of those colors like mean, it makes more sense why all of those colors were chosen and sort of placed in the bedroom, especially for Tessa.
Yeah, for Tessa specifically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll have to go back and watch it now with that in mind.
I know. Dude,
that was our other goal, was to make something that you would want to go back and rewatch now that you have more information.
Catch
and you kind of understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's stuff. I mean, you know, the funny thing is that we shot in our house and we haven't really changed anything. So we're absolutely still sleeping in the room that is dressed up the way it was for Tessa. Our living room has not changed.
That's great.
Like, everything still looks like that. We shot there was some blood that had to be flung onto the ceiling and we can't get it off.
Yeah.
I was literally about to ask, you still got blood in rooms and
we're finding
we're
it.
We're still finding
everywhere.
It
everywhere. Yeah. We had to have our landlord over for the other day just to talk about some maintenance stuff. And I was just like, don't look up. Cause if he had looked up, there was just blood.
We had him in the dining room. We were like, come here. Don't go in the kitchen. Don't go in the kitchen. Come here. We want you in here.
But yeah, everything is just really intentionally weird and off-putting in a way. But now it's just our house. Yeah, we just live that
way. Now we just live in a weird liminal space in our house.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
No way, man.
That's great though. But I mean, I will need to go back and rewatch it just to pick up on some of these things that you're mentioning. I love doing that anyway. I love picking up on little. Amanda always says, "You just love things that are clever," and I was like, "Well, yeah." I was like that.
Yeah.
If you can slide something in there, and I'm like, "Oh, not everybody's gonna get that, but the people that do really appreciate it." I love that kind of stuff. So
mindless entertainment.
You guys have it now. You're telling me, it's all in there.
There's a ton of stuff. I'll mention something else too on your rewatch during the library scene. Keep your eye on the guys in the background.
Okay.
I was
watching the thing in the foreground, but I did notice there was stuff between those guys that are doing something.
The YMCA.
They are dancing. It's weird.
Lestat's back there with Lorraine. Right.
I knew I'd have to go back and watch that again because I noticed something kind of out of my periphery that they were doing, but I was invested in what was going on between that creepy librarian. But
hell yeah.
It's a very quick, just subtle little creep factor thing that sort of happens. And it's a nod again to Invasion of the Body Snatchers 1978, because there's always something weird going on in the background in that movie, like someone's moving wrong or something's happening and someone's running for some reason and you don't know why. People are looking out windows, you know. It's weird. It's such it makes me feel so uneasy, that movie.
All the stuff that you as a viewer pick up on that the lead character doesn't pick up on.
Yes.
And it's one of those things that makes me talk trash during a movie, because I'm like,
you can see it.
Look behind you, idiot. Yeah. I mean, look. They're telling you to run. They're telling you to run.
You could see it, but they can't.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it. And that's why we wanted to make the show. We wanted to make a show that you would want to go back and watch again, because we're losing that. We're losing shows like that. We're just getting shows that happen and then you forget about it. We wanted to make a show, or at least this first season, like, I mean, we're always going to aim to make stuff that you want to rewatch. And there should be a reason why you want to rewatch it. But yeah, we wanted to make that because we miss it. You know, we miss shows like that.
And one of the things that Screambox was so amazing about is they gave us that freedom and they trusted us. So as we were making this show, you know, normally maybe as Tessa is reading the microfiche, there would be a voiceover reading the microfiche out loud to you. And so you could be on your phone and not have to kind of worry about it.
And it was at that moment she realized.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And we anytime that we got a note like that, which wasn't very often, we would say, that's not what we want to do and here's why. And they would be like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. And they trusted us to trust the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one thing that audiences, at least I know I do, is I want to be allowed to discover things myself, because then I create, it gets me excited. It gets me invested in the show. And that's ultimately what we all want, is to create something that people are invested in.
Yep.
And if you just keep handing them information that they don't have to work for, there's no joy there. There's no connection there. It's just you're mindlessly being handed information as you look at your phone. So we're really happy that people are connecting with that and like getting excited that they're seeing things that not everybody is seeing.
Yeah.
That was really important to us.
And it's crazy too, because you know, you hear of big companies saying people don't want a show. They want to just be on their phones while they're watching something. And we, on a very small level, we sort of proved them wrong, because so many people were like, I didn't even look at my phone. I was so into this and I wanted to figure out the mystery and I wanted to figure out what was going to happen in the next episode. I didn't want to look at my phone.
Yeah.
And that I feel is a giant issue with entertainment now, is that we're making it specifically so you don't have to watch it.
Is that right? It's crazy.
Which is insane to me.
Yeah.
And we have to have more respect, at least for television, because during a movie, if you're in a movie theater, you better
turn your phone off.
Turn your phone
off. Yeah.
It shouldn't be on your phone, my guy.
But if you're at home, it's harder to keep people's attention. Mm-hmm. So I was proud of us for fighting for the things that we believed in about the show that we knew were going to work. You know, even if we did get a lot, like some pushback or something like, we really need a voiceover here, we'd be like, no.
Yeah.
No. And, you know, we were right, which is nice when you're right. But it was, it's a risk. It's a risk for, you know.
Yeah.
It's a risk to take, but I'm glad we took it.
Yeah, I am too. I am too.
I've got to ask, who did the voice of the recap? The previously on.
Oh, so that was actually Alex, who plays Freddy.
Uh-huh.
So we had Katrin Nugent, who plays Tessa, and Alexander Platt, who plays Freddy. They both had to come in and do some ADR, especially for the scene, the nighttime wood scene, because we had a generator running, and so none of their dialogue was usable.
I was shocked that no one was like, yo, the 80, I could hear the ADR in that scene, which is, we did a pretty
decent
job.
They did a great job. So when Alex came in to do his ADR, I was just like, you know what? I had my like running list of producer things that we needed to get. And in the corner I had, just in case, get a previously on. Because that's something from like the 80s and 90s that I always loved so much. Mm-hmm. And so randomly we were just like, by the way, before we go to lunch, Alex, can you just drop a couple of reads of previously on The Trouble with Tessa? And he like dropped into this voice that
previously
I had never heard before.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was awesome.
Yeah, because Freddie's register was higher up.
Higher.
So, I would have never guessed that it was the same actor. But it was cool, because back when when nobody knew what a podcast was, it was a podcast because you put it on an iPod.
Yes.
Yeah. I fell in love with this little serialized podcast called Wormwood. And
oh, yes, I remember.
That is exactly how the show began, and the voice reminded me of that
That's awesome.
Previously on
That's
Wormwood. Awesome. And it was, I was
That's
like,
awesome.
It freaked me out a little bit. I was like, is it the same guy? I was like, that. I know that voice.
That's so funny that it's similar. No, it was just, it's our guy Alex, and he apparently can do this incredibly resonant voice. Uh-huh.
Should we do that on Graveyard Tales now?
Previously
on Graveyard Tales.
Yes. Yes.
It is so of a time.
It would just be a clip of like one of us going, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
It should just be the dad jokes. It's just the dad joke from the previous episode.
It has nothing to do with the show.
It's just a butt joke or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that you guys soaked it in and, you know, got immersed in the world of Lowry. We're really proud of our tiny little show.
Yeah, you should be. You should be.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
You said that everybody doesn't catch. Well, there's something that I guarantee everybody's going to catch that I had to bring up before we end this.
Sure.
The degloving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's tough,
so,
man.
Not to spoil anything, but trying to get the binding off her hands.
Yeah.
And that, A, is commitment. B, it was the first time in a long time that I went, ooh, I don't know. I don't know. Because it was visceral.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the old slasher films that I used to watch and stuff. It was just, it wasn't like excessive. It wasn't unnecessary. It was a necessary part of the thing.
Yeah.
It had to happen. And if it had happened any other way, it wouldn't have been believable.
Right.
You know, especially if you look at the way her hands were bound, that, that wouldn't have happened any other way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was like, oh my God, they got me with that one. And I'm just glad I didn't have to see it the rest of the movie. So thank y'all for that. I'm sure that was,
just flapping around.
Showing it to everybody. Skin. Look at this.
Yeah. I'm going to use my good hand.
By the way, the flap of skin, I still have it in our in my binder.
Binder. I got to shout out. That's our amazing special effects and cast member, Corey DeAnn Cowley. She is chef's kiss, one of the best to ever do it. She knows how to get the sort of insides of someone, of something, the tendons and everything. She knows how to get that.
It looked very real.
Yeah.
And that was a one shot. She had one shot to make that happen.
Oh, wow.
And
we had so little of a budget that usually you've got like refrigeration and all this other stuff to keep things, you know, from not shrinking. And that day was very humid because we were filming in September. So we were just about to hit that lovely October weather, but we didn't.
Yeah.
We like finished on September like 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just missed it. So we were getting those like 75, 80 degree days. So it was hot, sticky, and humid. And this thing, there were a couple of disaster moments that we had right before. As one, our wonderful lead had a sweater on, so we had to cut them out of it because they forgot to take it off. And so we had to cut them out of that so that we lost time.
Yeah.
And so this prosthetic started shrinking. It was, I forgot what she used. Corey could tell you, but she was using a specific thing that started shrinking. And Corey was freaking out, and I just grabbed her by the shoulder and said, "Hey, we're going to be fine. Trust your director. We're going to be all right." And we went out. We shot at two cameras. We got as much coverage as possible. We had Katie do it once, and that was the one take that we got.
Yeah.
And the way the skin flapped over, that was an accident.
Oh,
it didn't
really?
Come, it was, you know, it, and because it didn't come clean off, it was perfect.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's what would have happened.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't have been perfect. There's no way.
Right, exactly.
There's no way it would have just sliced right off.
Right.
And so when we're looking at, I'm looking at it in camera going, this is phenomenal.
It's incredible.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, just essentially, it's like it's an Uncrustable, right? You know how like with Uncrustables, like you have the bread and then you have everything on the inside and then it's like, it's that, but like two layers of fake skin with like jelly in between.
A human Uncrustable.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And Corey just absolutely knocked it out of the park, and we shot it in our backyard. And I mean, like that's like, this whole project was just making this show happen in spite of every reason that it shouldn't have been able to happen.
Yep.
And everybody just coming together and the universe at perfect times, just making sure it was going to be okay, like getting the Uncrustable off of her hand and it being perfect. And that's why we're so proud of this little show because everyone came together. Corey works at Publix grocery stores, and three of the women who created this incredible wardrobe piece work at Publix grocery stores. And like,
Sandra and Skaloose. Lucy.
Gathered them together and they all came because everyone has these secret skills that they're not being hired for.
Yeah.
And we're like, they all brought everything that they have to make this show happen. And God, we're so proud of everyone who worked on it because they really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, by all intents and purposes, this show should have failed. It should have been a disaster with the amount of money and time that we had. It should have just absolutely been a freaking disaster. The bar, I lit that whole bar scene by myself. It was just me and Bethany that day at the bar. Yeah. We had no one because my guy called in sick. He was like, I can't come in. And I was like, oh my God. So like we should have just failed. But because we had a wonderful cast and we had each other, we felt supported and everyone believed in the project.
Yeah.
So like when one was down, another person would hold them up. And man, what a great first thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like what an amazing way to do it. And so we're grateful. We're so grateful. And we're grateful that you guys, you know, dug it.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. Loved it. And like we said, have to rewatch it. And I'm looking forward to y'all's upcoming projects because, I mean, whether you've thought about it, I'm sure you have, but whether you've thought about it or not, you have to do more now because you've got me invested in.
Yeah.
In this, but I mean, if you're listening to Graveyard Tales, you've got to go watch The Trouble with Tessa. I promise that you're going to love it. And then when you do, I want you to hop on Dennis and Bethany's Instagram or wherever and tell them how much you loved it.
Oh, thank you.
And on that note, can you tell them again where they can find it, where they can find you guys to follow y'all and stuff like that?
Absolutely. I would say that this show is absolutely a Graveyard Tales audience show.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like it is right. Yeah. If you love the stories that you guys tell, like I have to say, like you guys were probably the biggest inspiration. Like all the stories that you tell that I listened to definitely crept into my head.
For
and it was
sure.
like, how cool would it be to actually go to one of those places like experience and like, this is it. So so you can find it on Screenbox. All 6 episodes are streaming now. If you have a Screenbox subscription, you can go there. If not, and if you love horror and you love just horror movies, they have a amazing curated list of movies. They just got all the trauma movies because they're putting out the Toxic Avenger movie. Yep. They've got tons of movies besides our show.
And they have a 7-day free trial.
Cool. And then it's ridiculously cheap a month. But if you're not into streaming services, you can also get it. You can buy it on Amazon, and you can also buy it on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. And YouTube, I think.
And YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have YouTube, I think it's like YouTube TV or whatever, you can watch it with your subscription.
Okay.
And I'm at Dennis Callow. I would say also hit up Screenbox if you like it.
Yeah.
Find their customer service email or message them on Instagram and say, we want more Trouble with Tessa.
Yes.
The more people that say they want this show to keep going, the more you'll get from us.
Totally, so, totally.
I'm at Dennis Callow on everything. And at The Trouble with Tessa is also on Instagram.
Yes. And then I'm at Miss Bethany Watson, MS Bethany Watson, on Instagram and Blue Sky, which I have like 100 followers on Blue Sky. So I go real unhinged because I feel like it's a very small audience. But yeah, just let Screenbox know that you like it. And that's more important than ever, especially with like indie stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're watching to see if people care. And so,
yeah,
if you care, certainly let them know.
Yep. Yeah, keep us in that top 10.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like independent podcasting, you know, without the viewers or the listeners, we wouldn't be able to keep doing what we're doing. So in indie filmmaking, it's the same. So y'all go follow them, watch it, share it, tell everybody about it. So
thank you.
Yep. Thank you guys again for being on Graveyard Tales and talking with us. And let's not let 2 years go by or more, however long it was, before we do this again. So I know our listeners last time reached out and said they loved the episode with you, Dennis. So I guarantee you they will like this one.
Yeah, they're going to like her better.
No.
Well, no, I can't say they won't.
Stealing friends to stealing audiences.
Yeah.
Right? She's going to steal all my friends.
No, are we still recording or are we done recording?
We're still
recording. Yep. Then I'm going to save my thanks for afterwards. But this was such a pleasure, and we're so grateful that you guys had us on.
Yeah, this was awesome. We love you guys.
It was an honor to have you both, and we think the world of y'all. So anytime, come back.
Same. Yep.
Thank you.
For sure.
Thanks again to Bethany Watson and Dennis Callow for joining us tonight. We knew it was going to be great. We didn't know it was going to be this great.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, we could probably just go on for another hour just talking with these guys. And they're so much fun. And I'm telling you, go check out their series, The Trouble with Tessa. Mm-hmm. Adam and I have both watched it. It's fantastic. Scared the bejesus out of Amanda.
Yep. Ashley wouldn't watch it. She was out.
Amanda bailed on me. I wound up having to watch it with Piper. So it's okay. I mean, you know, she loved it, but thanks again, you guys. We really loved having you on the show, and we can't wait until you're back with us again.
Yep.
Don't forget, guys, go and check out our website. It's graveyardpodcast.com, and there you can listen to the show. You can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. We do have some new things in there, a new store, and you can become a patron. We've got a huge bonus catalog to check out, and it's a really good time to jump in there, help the show,
yep,
and get a lot of content for your money. I think it's a great value, but I'm a little biased. Don't forget to check out our Facebook group. Jump in there. You can talk about, you know, the show. You can talk about when you go watch The Trouble with Tessa.
Mm-hmm.
You share jokes. It's a great group. Thousands of people in there. It's fantastic. Go check it out. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.